growing in the service of God's kingdom. Christian growth. That first reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians showed us something of the implied steps in Christian growth, whereas the gospel reading showed us the larger picture, as is illustrated something of the ministry of John the Baptist. During Advent, we are, of course, thinking of the coming of God's kingdom. God's kingdom coming upon us now, God's kingdom as it was initiated in the birth, life, death, and rising of Jesus of Nazareth, and God's kingdom as it will be fulfilled at the end of time, and indeed also in the end of our own lives. God's rule in the world and God's rule in our lives. And when Jesus told parables or illustrative stories about the kingdom, he invariably talked about growth, a mustard seed growing. He talked about getting ready for harvest. He talked about patience in growth. But nonetheless, there was always the feeling that things were moving forward, that our lives were moving forward, and our faith in God, our relationship with God, at the same time, needs to move forward. If you and I are in exactly the same place as we were this time last year, in our relationship with God, we haven't stood still, we've gone back. Because Christian faith, if it is lived, is about growth, growing in a relationship. Just as in a human relationship, when things stand still, they begin to slip back. When a marriage matures, it deepens and becomes more wonderful. So let's look, fairly briefly this morning, but let's look at some of the features of growth as expressed in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. He says, first of all, I remember you constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. You see the idea of progress right away. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. The completion is not ours, the completion is in God's hands. It's right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For you all share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. My imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That is all about growth in witness. Growing in our witness to Christ. And witness is not just about telling other people. Witness is not just about being able to articulate. Witness is bearing witness by the type of life we are, the type of life we live, the sort of people we are. And Paul says, yes, there is suffering, and there's nothing that tests any of us more than difficult times. And many people go through very difficult times, Christian and non-Christian alike. And it's not that we escape because we are seeking to grow closer to God. It's not even that it's always easier. It can be just as difficult if we're real about it. But the way that we handle it has something to do about our Christian witness. Suffering, yes. But notice, too, what he says about the defense and confirmation of the gospel. If I have to argue a case over something, If I have to argue a case in the public arena about something, I have to immerse myself in that. I have to learn as much as I possibly can. I have to be prepared to spend time learning. There is no defense or confirmation of the gospel, no foundation to that witness, unless you and I are grounded in the teaching of the faith, and of course, above all, in Scripture, because it is Scripture that molds us. And it is not what we think of the Bible, but the way that God encounters us as we open ourselves to the Bible. Sometimes we put all the emphasis on us reading the Bible. How about sometimes thinking about the Bible reading you and me? When we read a passage of Scripture, just looking at it and saying, how's that reading my life? How is God reading my life by His Spirit through that passage of Scripture? So the first thing I say about growth is, yes, it may often be in the context of great difficulty, but above all, it must be an immersion in the faith, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. If your faith and my faith is superficial, if it's all just about the sort of worship we enjoy, or the sort of company we enjoy, the sort of friends we have, that's all very well. But unless there's that hard working at our faith, it stands still. The next thing that I noticed, maybe not that Paul was telling them to grow in, but he let it slip about his own life. God is my witness, for I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Do you know there is nothing that speaks more loudly in Christian witness than compassion? The compassion of Jesus. And as you read the Gospels, you cannot but be struck by the compassion he showed in situation after situation. Often his compassion was somewhat perplexing, sometimes quite hard, as you read some of those Gospel stories very honestly, to see exactly what he was getting at. Sometimes there was one woman, the Syrophoenician woman, who encountered him, and she didn't at first realize that he was even being compassionate towards her because he was drawing her out. Sometimes compassion means challenging, but nonetheless, there is always this compassion. Do you know, as you read the gospel, the only thing that really provoked Jesus was those who were taking a hard line and being legalistic. Have you ever noticed that? It was always the classic Pharisee. Poor Pharisees get a pretty tough time in the New Testament. They were people steeped in God's word, in the law. But do you know what had happened? It had somehow hardened them because they looked at other people without compassion. One of the sad things that's happening, and I saw it in the papers only the last few days, that some of the Christian groups in universities have been hitting a great deal of conflict. And some of it, it's quite obvious, is of their own making, because they are not showing themselves as compassionate, they're showing themselves as hard line. The compassion of Jesus. As we get more steeped in our Christian faith, as we try to deepen our Christian faith, it is so easy to become tough. Jesus didn't. Jesus showed compassion, and he drew people to himself with that great heart of compassion. And Paul goes on then to expand on this. And this is my prayer for you. Yes, growing in the knowledge and confirmation of the gospel, growing in compassion. But then he goes on, this is my prayer for you, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless. Yes, those who are really grounded in the faith those who have caught something of the compassion of Jesus are the people who are seen to have love overflowing. But it's not all a sentimental sort of love. It's not all emotion. Of course emotion is part of love. Of course sentiment is part of love. But if it's based purely on that, well, we're off to a pretty rickety start in a human relationship, let alone a spiritual relationship. Love is marked here by knowledge and insight. If we're really going to love God, we want to deepen our knowledge of Him, our knowledge of other people, our knowledge of the Word, so that we may have some of the insight of God, so that we may look by the help of the Holy Spirit on the world that we live in, the life that you and I are called to live, and discern something of what love means, because there are decisions to be made all the time by all of us. The decision for Christ or against Christ is a fundamental one, but you know, we're taking it each day of our lives as well. We have to take it afresh, tomorrow and the next day. We may be pure and blameless, having produced that harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. There are some pointers to Christian growth. John the Baptist, in our gospel reading in Luke 3:1-6, John the Baptist was given the very particular witness of preparing the way. And what I like about this picture of preparing the way is a reminder to all of us as Christians that we are never the solution. It's so easy to imagine that we have the answers and that we are the solution. We are preparing the way. We're opening doors. We're giving pointers, hopefully by the way that we live as well as the way that we speak. John the Baptist's ministry was in some ways an exciting one, but in some ways a mundane one. It seemed to be about breaking down barriers, making rough ways smooth, turning crooked paths straight. Often his ministry seemed to be a little bit here and a little bit there. But that's like so much of life, isn't it? It's like so much of being a Christian. It's sometimes difficult to see the big plan in Christian growth. But it's in those little things that we do. That little bit of breaking down of a barrier. That little bit of showing compassion. That little bit of pointing somebody in a way that they may encounter the living God. That's what a ministry of preparation is. And in a way, all Christian ministry, ordained and lay alike, all Christian ministry is about making ready, preparing the way for the Lord. And there's something even contradictory in that, because in one way we're preparing the way for the Lord, but in another way He's already there. We're making people sensitive to what has happened, to what God is doing, what God is doing in their own lives, where God is ahead of us. But underneath all this demand for Christian growth, there needs to be a vision. Right at the end of that reading, it came so beautifully. All flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. It was put elsewhere, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it. During this Advent, we are reminded that we're praying not just for the coming of God's rule in our own lives, but for the coming of God's kingdom in all the world. God's kingdom in its fulfillment at the end of time. We're driven by a vision of God's glory that is to embrace, that God's will would be to embrace all. But church, those baptized into Jesus Christ, have been given a task to serve that kingdom. We're not the kingdom. We're here to prepare the way for the kingdom, to serve the kingdom. The kingdom is greater than any of us. We can't set its boundaries. Only God sets its boundaries. And the people tried setting the boundaries of the kingdom. Jesus said, no, let it all remain until the harvest. And then we'll see. God's kingdom is bigger than you and me. But if we're going to grow in faith, we're called to serve that kingdom. When you pray today, and I hope every day, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come, we're praying that we may be servants of that kingdom and that we may grow in that discipleship.